The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. This is how I knew that the socialists have really taken over the Democratic Party. Because a guy like Senator Chris Murphy, he gets his talking points. He goes out on Meet the Depressed. And he just prattles them right off.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. Because he was asked about, hey, what about the Democratic Socialists seemingly taking over the party here, sir?
I want us to be a big tent party. And I've been saying this for years. I think that it's actually a sign of a party that is alive and growing when there's a contest of ideas inside the party. So I'm not a Democratic Socialist, but I do believe that the Democratic Party has been historically way too timid in taking on corporate power. I think our party should have bigger ideas. I put one on the table last week, a $25 minimum wage. And I think we do have to have answers for the way in which corporations and billionaires are taking over and corrupting our politics.
Who had the most billionaires give to their causes?
Dude, yeah.
The Democrats.
Kamala Harris spent $1.5 billion on a 70-whatever-day campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Big tent party was the talking point.
I mean, because three or four people said it. Yeah, same
point. More than that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who went out said it.
Yes.
I'm just wondering what the overall reaction would be. Let's say that in a handful of primaries, people who described themselves as national socialists, that would be Nazis, started winning Republican primaries. And, you know, you had different like Tim Scott goes out there and asked on Meet the Press, hey, what do you think about this rise of national socialists in the Republican Party? He says, hey, we got to be a big tent party. People would be screaming about it.
Of course.
And rightfully so. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, yes, we need, you know, the Republican Party needs to recruit more national socialists. No.
No.
Could we get off the one-trick pony raising the minimum wage thing, too?
No.
So yeah.
That's $25 an hour. Why not $100 an hour?
Why not? You know? While you're at it.
Well, yeah.
Why stop there, Chris? What are you afraid of?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, as far as health care, it's going to be the litmus test for all these things. And one we've seen now is, what are your feelings on Gaza?
Oh, yeah.
And do you hate the Jews? Because if you love the Jews, we don't have room for you in this party, it doesn't seem.
Yeah, the tent gets very small then.
It's a big tent party for sure.
Yeah, Jews enter through the back. They got their own place to sit. Well, the tent.
And the proof for that?
Yeah.
Scott Wiener.
Dude. Oh, okay. So, California State Senator running for Congress now. He's the weirdo who wrote legislation making it legal to knowingly give someone AIDS. He also wants to keep gay sex offenders off of registries and supports, hey, you know, if you're 24 and you're having a relationship with a 14-year-old boy, you should not be put on a sex offender registry. Okay. Love is love.
Unreal with this dude.
I mean, just aggressively liberal and pro-LGBTQ pervert, whatever. He got run out of a pride event because he's a Jew and doesn't hate Israel enough. No. I mean, he's surrounded by a mob and chased out.
Yes. And the nuts yelling at him. I'm surprised you got all this edited.
I think I did.
No, okay, boy. Roll it.
You've been terrible on Gaza.
Everybody hates you.
You do not belong
Everybody
here anymore, Scott, and it breaks
you.
My heart.
Everybody
it breaks my heart.
You.
It breaks my heart. How? How could you do this to San Francisco?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice job with the editing. Oh,
thank you. Dude, and there, I mean, he's just looking like, all right, I'm looking for the exit. He's not going to engage and all that, which is
fear
probably
is in his eyes.
Yeah, it's probably the smart thing to do to not engage in that kind of situation because these are unhinged lunatics. But these are the people that you've been courting your entire career, sir. So it's like on a human level, I kind of feel bad for him because I think, no, you shouldn't be run out of any event because you're a Jew or any religious persuasion. But you created this monster or helped do it.
Yes, and you would think that, okay, the guy is so crazy progressive – on the Alphabet Mafia stuff, he would get maybe a pass on the other stuff. Not that one.
Nope.
Well, I read today where the Mamdani vote, while you thought it was a bunch of people voting for free stuff, wasn't necessarily true. They did vote for the free stuff, but the thing that drove them to the polls was Jew hatred.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is incredible.
Yes, that's indoctrination, man. That's happened
what
over
time. What
pushes
him over the top is the Jew-hating vote.
Yes.
It's incredible to even think about.
Yes. What you think would happen October 7th, 2023?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was thinking about this earlier today. For Hamas, Hezbollah, anybody else, it pays to get one of those right where you could go into Israel and cause that kind of havoc. And just, I mean, it's more than havoc. It was things that slaughter. We never thought we would see in our lifetime. Just horrific. And it's worked out for that side so well. And some people will say, well, Israel, they went back at it too hard. Did they?
No. No, to me.
That was part of the reason they knew on the world stage and world media it would all turn on Israel. And it has.
It's crazy.
Well, it is. If you don't punch the bully in the mouth, he's going to keep coming. So eventually you got to punch him in the mouth. And you got to punch him hard. And that's what happened here. And they can go ahead and paint this any way they want to. Is there a reason? Is there ever a reason to all of a sudden look at what the Jews are doing and maybe have a problem or conflict with it? I'm sure it's up for debate. We can talk about that.
Yeah, but this started way before that.
This one has not have done it. I mean,
no.
Again, I mean, you can talk about Lebanon, and I know Trump's pissed that they're going into Lebanon.
Sure.
You know, and that's. And I understand that to a certain extent, but then again, I think they're tired of messing around with this crap,
dude. The hunger
lobbing
strikes,
a few bombs here and there, you know,
at Columbia or wherever,
yeah,
that were hilarious.
Yeah. Yes,
from these college students. Wasn't that spring 2024?
That was, yeah.
So that wasn't even a year into it.
Yeah,
I mean, it seems like this was the plan all along.
It's really something.
It really is.
Wow.
All right, it's that time. We do it a couple of times a day. Go around the table. It may not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. David, today, what's your story?
Well, we keep hearing that it's horrible to end temporary protected status for Haitian nationals, which the Trump administration can do now because the Supreme Court, they understood what the word temporary means. I mean, some of these folks came in after the earthquake more than a decade ago. And they're still, and even the Obama administration said they're going to have to go back after 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's not the case. Here we are. I always love this because we talk about that time in 2018 when Trump apparently said, why do we have to keep taking people from these crap hole countries?
Right.
Tears of rage.
Yeah, that was Cory Booker actually saying he had tears of rage because Trump called Haiti a crap hole country.
Yes.
Back in 2018, after Trump said that, allegedly, Anderson Cooper, he was one of the several media figures to say, well, that was horrible, too. Haiti is already great, sir.
Okay. Roll it.
And I mean, Haiti is so, you know, yeah, it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. But it's, you know, a country can be poor economically and rich in culture and rich in the strength of the people and rich in so many different ways. And Haiti is in that way among the richest countries I've ever been to. I mean, the Haitian people are incredibly strong, carry themselves with such dignity, and for generations, you know, have...
Barbecue took it over, dude.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Had governments which have not paid attention to them, which have stolen from them, and yet, whatever adversity they have faced, they face it head on. And as I said, you know, When you meet them, they, you know, Haitians look you in the eye. They slap your hand hard when you shake it.
You're a media guy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I would say then, by Anderson Cooper's own definition, then there should be no problem with them going to such a vibrant and culturally rich place like Haiti.
Of course, you'd want to go back home.
Definitely.
You would think.
So you can slap hands with people.
Yeah.
Like, was that serious or was that some sort of comedy bit from him? That's what he does best.
That's when he was on Conan, because Conan O'Brien was about to make his trip to Haiti.
Oh, right.
The pilgrimage to Haiti. Because
that's right.
Haiti's already great. No, it's not.
See, he's still laughing at that.
Make Haiti great.
The giggles of Anderson Cooper.
That's great, yeah.
All right, Scotty, what do you got for your story?
A Mexican vigilante dubbed Batman is wanted by police for allegedly chasing down suspected motorbike thieves. He'd been stealing the motorbikes.
Okay.
And this Batman guy's had enough.
Yeah?
So he's running them down. He's catching them. And when he does catch them, he tapes them to lampposts.
That's awesome.
And, takes the stolen bike and sets it next to him and takes a pen and puts thief across their forehead.
Where is this happening?
It's in Mexico.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. Cops are after him.
Well, sure. Can't have vigilante justice.
Can't have vigilante justice. But it's funny watching these guys. I mean, it's like for the movies where they just wrap the tape around them 1,000 times. They can't move their arms or feet or anything. Then sometimes it puts mustaches on them and horns. It's hilarious.
But anyway,
so cops are looking for this guy. But hey, you know what they did say? The bike thefts are down.
I bet they are.
Yeah, I don't know when he does his work and when he runs them down and catches them, but he's caught a few.
Wow.
To me, that's great punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, time to a lamppost. Draw fit pictures on their face.
For my story, it doesn't have to do with Batman.
Okay.
But another superhero.
Yeah.
Supergirl.
Ooh, I hear that one's not very good.
Whoa. Apparently another disappointment at the old box office.
Yeah.
Bad.
For DC.
Yeah.
Only earned $38 million domestically.
Covered his bear.
Well below the projected $50 million it thought it would get, and that was tampered down.
Yeah, and even that would not be a great opening for a, you know, what's supposed to be a blockbuster superhero movie.
Summertime. Yes. Yeah. Well, and so DC, you know, I don't follow it this close, but I know it had been a major disappointment, like, through the years, right? Mm-hmm. But then with the reboot of Superman a year ago, they thought, okay, we're back on track now. Mm-hmm. And Supergirl was in that. She was introduced there. So their hopes were heightened. And I don't know if this is one of those things, again, where people on the left are going to say, well, it's because the public's stupid and they don't want to see a woman in power.
Right.
I have no idea if the movie's good or not. By all reviews, it's not very good.
When even Variety is turning on a girl boss movie like this. Yeah, it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
They said the script was a complete mess. It was just not watchable.
And you wonder, how many times are they going to do this? How much money can you lose?
People stop throwing money at them, I guess. I mean,
I guess.
It's amazing to me you lose that much money.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be your big weekend, too.
Yep, and on it goes.
Oops.
All right, I know 4th of July is coming up, and you maybe want steak. You can't steal it shoving it in your pants.
No.
Nimrods of the News is coming up, and a news update in just a few right here.